From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill.
Good morning, welcome to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in here, as we noted on the Handicappers Report. We wish our co-host Steve Bick the best on the mend. A little surgery on Friday. He was expecting to be in here, but as the day went on yesterday, he texted me a couple of times and said it was starting to get a little sore, a little wrist action and whatnot. Just had some things cleaned up. He's on the mend, and I'm sure the radio show he'll kick off tomorrow will be okay. But just felt it was a little sore today, so we'll get him in here next week. Wishing him the best. But again, I will ably fill in going solo on this gorgeous Sunday morning up here. Coming up a little bit later on, Tommy Bellhouse will join us from West Point Thoroughbreds. They had a nice win in the opener yesterday. We'll touch on that. Some of the horses coming up for West Point. We'll talk a little racing after that as well, over what was a great week of racing with some really nice performances to kind of hit on. But as alluded to on the Handicapper Support, happy to start out the show. I said to her when I saw her yesterday and invited her on, I said, wanted the sibling trifecta. We've had Dylan Davis on. We've had Jackie Davis on this morning. It's Katie Davis to make the trifecta. And you've got to get your dad back here. He hasn't been back in a while. So we had the superfecta with the whole family as well, with the patriarch. But good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
Thrilled to have you here.
Thanks.
And I want to start out, and I talked to you during one of the commercial breaks, because I was I had invited you on the show about the middle of the day, and then the last race of the day, or second to last race of the day, you come up with another winner. So I went down, and I kind of followed you through the clubhouse, and the guys can pull up the video I took and took some pictures.
Oh, cool.
And there was cheers on the bottom floor of the clubhouse as you went through the clubhouse, and people were stopping you for selfies. You were a rock star yesterday.
You know, it was very different, and I just embraced it at the same time, you know, and I just want everybody to be a part of racing and, you know, enjoy it like I do.
And again, it was great. It was literally, you weren't walking more than 5 feet, and the next group would stop you. The next group would stop you, and then you made the run to them. You get the high five on the for the folks on the outside.
I'm like,
that had to be that. I was smiling. That had to feel great.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was a great feeling. You know, like I told my agent coming into Saratoga, if I can just get one win, then I could check it off. You know, my list, knowing that I won at Saratoga, my hometown, as well. Now this extra win was just a sweet bonus, and I'm just embracing it all, so it's been fun.
And it's only week three.
I know.
we still have plenty of time to go, but again, it's always a lot of fun. I always like to root for the locals, and you and you know, your dad moved up here after the career, and you guys were all raised, and we talked to Dylan and having friends. Have you had friends at the track coming over when you're riding?
Yeah, they pop over up at the in front of the track and stuff, and they're Katie, and I turn, and I'm like, oh wow, we've been seeing you in like 12 years. It's so cool, you know. So it's fun. Everybody has family now, and it's just a great family, you know, racetrack.
I just
there's nowhere else like this place. So it's fun, and you know, we're like one big family.
Yeah, fun and exciting as well. And let's touch on a little bit of that, and we'll go back. And on Friday, I did not really realize this until I was kind of putting together the notes for the show. But going back to Friday, we're going to watch the replay here. Number 9 is going to be River Tay. You're going to get a victory, a hard-fought neck victory.
Yes.
But it was career victory number 1 at Saratoga. Talk a little bit about coming down the stretch, getting the win, and just the feeling.
Oh, it was awesome. I breezed her up to this race. I've ridden her before, and I just knew she was ready. She loved that 2 turns, and, you know, I got her engaged. Don't know what happened to my whip. Caught it, drop it, and I just said, okay, whatever, it's gone. Let me just pick her up and hand ride her, and she loved that more than, I think that was the best thing that ever happened to me. So, you know, it was cool, you know. And, you know, after a while, I was like, wow, I won, you know. After all that, happened in the race, I got up. It was a really cool first victory, something I won't forget.
The whole story makes it more special because it is a ding-dong finish, and I was watching a lot of times when I get home because during the day I'm on the front side or I'm back here working, so I don't get to see it, but a lot of times I'll go back and watch the replay of the Fox show just because they're fun, interesting things happen during the day and want to see what, and they mentioned you dropping the whip and they had the shot of you dropping the whip.
In slow-mo.
To get there in that kind of a finish, drop the whip and still get the victory.
Yeah.
It just made it more special.
Yes, it really did. You know, at one point I was like, oh, so embarrassed. Everybody watches. But, you know, I won, you know, so that's all that matters.
And again, come back to the winner's circle, and that's what makes Saratoga so special as well. I think everybody is clued in, and I think because the fans are so savvy up here, they know you're a local, and so you come back to the winner's circle, you get
it
that kind of
reception. Yeah.
And then, as I say, I got you in the middle of the day yesterday. Who knew? Who knew? Race 11 was also interesting, I suppose, on a sibling matter, because your sister was originally named to ride on the turf. It goes over to the dirt. She's on an MTO, so you pick up the mount on Queen's Dancer. We'll look at it, the number one horse. Nice, savvy ride on this one. Half-length victory at 13-1. Talk about win number two yesterday.
Yeah, so the trainer, great, wonderful woman. I just met her yesterday, and she said just...
Linda Dixon.
Linda. So she said just go to the lead. You know, don't grab her. If you grab her and she starts throwing her head up, let her inch out. So I love a speed horse.
Yeah.
You know, I just get comfortable out there, let them get under their feet like we're breezing by ourselves, whatever they're doing back there, let them do.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, she didn't switch for me, but I just kept her engaged. And, you know, I heard Jackie come up on my inside and I was like, you know what? Every man for themselves. Like, we're just going to ding dong it the way down there. And you know, I'm not going to squeeze her or pinch her. I'm just, you know, may the best horse win.
Yeah.
You know, it's her other horse, so. But, you know, it was a great run, and it was nice to duel with her.
Yeah, and I should note that it was the Davis Exacta, and there was Jackie coming up. She wound up on one of the MTO horses there as the favorite, but you were on the $28 winner, so it was a nice, what, $50 Exacta with the Davises? That had to make it
kind of
fun as well. And, again, I walked downstairs and watched you walk through the clubhouse, and that was the video we saw after that race. That was just, it was crazy. It was a lot of fun, certainly.
It was.
Also wanted to pull up another video. This is going back a few days because you had a nice second place finish on a 31-1 shot. Yesterday, it was yesterday, right? You were
second
riding
race.
High Oak.
Yeah,
at a price and came in. Mm-hmm. I went back a few days ago, though, to Jimmy the Tooth was the winner. Hard par.
I love him.
At 31-1.
Yes.
At 5.5 on the turf. Talk a little about turf sprint racing. And hard par here is going to be the number 9 horse.
Yes.
Good second.
So I've been working with him because I help Ray handle out. He helped me out after I had my baby girl. So I galloped for him, and I got on him as a 2-year-old. Well, he's still 2. And worked with him. And he's been breezing really well. And he was like, oh, wait until he gets on the grass. So, you know, I gave him every opportunity down the backside. He started jumping some tire marks. And I'm like, okay, you're all right. Just give him that confidence. And tucked in, made one run, tipped out, and he finished second. If it was longer, I probably would have caught him. But... he's a nice little horse.
Do you have a preferred type of a race? Turf sprint, long turf, short dirt, longer turf?
I do love turf racing. I do like the long races as well because it's more of like a chess playing game. You know, you sit the pocket or where you want to be, how comfortable your horse is. It's more about breathing and placing yourself in the right, you know, right spot.
And you talk about a chess game. Talk about your development as a jockey, just generally development as a jockey, as when you first get in the game as the 10-pound apprentice, 5-pound apprentice, and now you get to the point where the chess game, I assume, is a little more natural to you.
Yeah. So when you start riding a couple races, it's very fast, and it's hard. It's hard to slow everything down and I think that comes in play when you start breathing out there and relaxing your body and let it come naturally. Because when you're out there, your adrenaline rush is running and you're like, I got this. Meanwhile, everything's going on. And you don't know what you're doing at one point. But it's been a lot has changed for me as a rider as well, because I had a baby girl, and, you know, I had to be in tune with her when she's upset and understanding her because she can't speak. So I took that in consideration with the horses as well, and trying to be in tune with them. Yeah, and being patient, more patient, and, you know, not being on the best horse, so, you know, giving them the, every opportunity and getting under their feet and being most comfortable out there is, has worked for me.
Give us a little bit of the background. Again, you have the two siblings, Dylan, Jackie, accomplished jockeys as well. Your dad, Robbie, a longtime accomplished jockey, now on the training side of things. So talk a little bit about growing up and obviously a horse racing background, but what brought you into thinking, I want to follow in the family footsteps?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, my dad didn't really want us on the backside as much as possible and kind of kept us away from it. You know, he wanted his kids to go to college. You know, it's a tough sport. It's, you know, it's demanding and it's dangerous as well. So we ended up going to the races when we were younger. And then my dad retired in 2001, 2002. And we came up here to Saratoga and I started showing horses. And I had a neighbor that had horses, so I'd always be at her house going, cleaning stalls, enjoying it, you know, showing horses. And I had a 9 or 12-year-old ex-thoroughbred. Her name was Cupcake. She would not show. She would not go in the ring. She'd rear up. She'd spin around. My dad's laughing at me, and I'm like, it's not funny. And he's like, you just want to go fast, right? And I'm like, yeah, I want to go fast. I don't like this jumping, showing. I love it, but it's like I was just frustrated. And I knew from then on I wanted to ride races. Yeah. And, you know, it took I did a lot of partying before I got into the business and got it all out of my system. I mean, I think maybe everybody here and there has done it, and it's been great, you know, and my dad has supported me through it all, and it's nice to have siblings as well in it, because, you know, you always have somebody you can trust to talk to.
And talk about that. Your dad, obviously a longtime accomplished jockey, and with the two siblings, I'm guessing as you get into the game, that's helpful because you can get positive feedback from folks who have been there and done that.
Yeah, so there's times where a rider would come back to me and say something when I was learning how to ride, and just riding in general, and I just called Dad. Dad, what do you think? You know, is he right? Is he wrong? Kate, you'd laugh. He's like, he's right. Just calm down. I'm like, we all get frustrated. But it's actually a big bonus and a huge plus having a veteran, you know, my dad, you know, I could call, wake up, did you see this race, you know, or call him later after the races. And, you know, not many people can say that, you know, and my dad came in and blindfolded, you know, so he had great success, and who else can you really talk to?
Now you can talk to the in-laws as well,
because
we haven't mentioned you're married to Trevor McCarthy, and his dad was a jockey as well. So is there, that's interesting. Now that I'm thinking about it, is there at home at the dinner table after the day at the races, is there racing conversation, or is it all like, let's put the racing aside and just enjoy being home?
We, in the Davis family, we like bragging rights. I'll be honest with you. There is some, but you can only poke some of us too far. Trevor, he's the only rider in his family, so he's kind of learning as well when we poke at each other. It's all fun and games. But it's cool. Like, it's great. It's actually having a big family and understanding the business. We support each other and boost each other's, you know, it's okay. You know, I know you're not winning right now. Don't get down on yourself. You know, it comes and goes, and it's a great positive bundle of hugs.
I would think so. I would think it would be very helpful in this particular profession where there are highs and lows to have somebody who understands it.
Yes. Yes, and I can imagine being an outsider in, knowing what we go through, how hard it is to understand.
Yeah.
And it's so easily to just be like, well, you don't get it, you know, rather than talk about it. And mental health is so important here in this game right now. And
it really has that's kind of on the jockey side of things become a topic over the last 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad people are talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, it's always, put your big boy panties on, you know, and get on with yourself. Like, it's not that hard, you know. And in reality, life can be hard.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's when, okay. When, you can ask for help.
Yeah, exactly. That's when okay. Your success is on a chalkboard, how many wins do you have and whatnot, that can...
Yeah, and it's not...
And with social media these days.
That's what makes it even harder. Yeah, you get people bashing you, even though you thought you rode a great race, and sometimes it's just doing you and not watching all that stuff on the background. It's if you can lay your head on your pillow at night, then you know you're okay. You're doing good.
I'm right with you.
You know.
And speaking of doing good, I also wanted to pull up because we just showed some recent races here, but I wanted to go back and you alluded to it. You're a mom, and so I had a little time off. This was fairly soon after the comeback, though, because I wanted to pull up a stakes victory. So I went back to February, going out for Ray Handel, the aforementioned Ray Handel, our friends at Adelphi, well. And it is funny how getting it done. And as I say, I think this was pretty soon after you had made the comeback, right?
Yes. So I rode my first race back in September here, and then I took some time and waited for the winter time. And Ray supported me throughout my winter career, and Trevor actually got hurt, so I got an opportunity to get on her. I was working with her as a two-year-old as well, and we just had that great connection. And she's such a cool horse.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I'd get on her, and she'd turn her head. I'd be getting on her, and she'd turn her head and just look at me, and I'd pet her, and I'm like, hi, it's me, you know, and... it was a great, oh man, we actually broke really bad that race, and I had to take her back and make one run with her. I never hit her. She just exploded nicely.
Yeah.
I probably should have checked my whip again.
Wins for fun, as I say. Did want to show a little stakes victory there.
Thank
also.
You.
Some of the other things I wanted to do, always when guests are on, I'll go look at their Twitter feed, and I pulled a couple of pictures off that I thought were notable because you've mentioned your baby.
Yeah.
So there was a great picture, and I don't can we credit who took it?
Oh, Robbie Demma.
Okay,
yes.
Because it's a great picture, and it's you and your baby. That's fabulous. Your baby's name?
Riley.
Riley.
Yes.
Very cute.
Thank you.
Hadn't you tweeted out maybe 4 or 6 months ago her in the kitchen with, like, she was – kind of making an escape, I think, or there was
something like that. Yes, yes.
Yeah, it looked like she was a handful at age whatever. And
she's only a year and a half. She's a big handful. Yeah. She knows what she wants, I'll tell you.
And I also, as a Saratoga native, coming back up here to Saratoga. And,
yes.
You got to take in a concert of SPAC, right? You got to go.
Yep.
So that's part of what makes Saratoga Saratoga. We've kind of alluded to it already.
Yeah.
But it's 5 days a week, and it starts early in the morning, obviously, working horses and whatnot. But then a lot of days there'll be the social aspects as well. So Saratoga can be a grind, but it's fun to win.
Yes. You have to take the time to enjoy the outside of the actual racing as well, because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
So keep our mind sane.
How was the show?
It was great. Yeah.
Jason Aldean?
Yes, Jason Aldean. Mm-hmm. He's a great, great, great performer.
I haven't been yet, but I've gotten caught in the traffic twice with bad planning. So,
oh, no.
I got to get over to a concert, though, certainly.
Perfect.
And before we let you go, we were talking before we went on the air, and I asked, and I'm glad I had you in today, because it's tonight over at Vapors, the PDJF karaoke benefit, and I've said it many times before, go on over, you'll have fun. Some of the jockeys will surprise you at how well they sing, some maybe not so much so, but you're participating.
Yes, Trevor and I, we will be doing a song, Meant to Be by Bebe or BB, however you pronounce it, and it'll be good. We just want to get the crowd involved and get everybody laughing. So
you guys been practicing?
A little bit. I know all the words. It's very simple, so it'll be good.
What should the expectations be for you guys?
Just get everybody involved. That's what we want. You know, make everybody happy and, you know, clapping and, you know, get in the rhythm.
and I'm right, correct? Some people will be surprised with some of, and you were saying some of the jockeys' wives are very good as well.
Yes, they're very good singers. So I'm not one of them, but I can ride a little bit. So I'll take that.
Yeah, there you go. And again, that's tonight right across the street, the Harness Track, the Vapor Nightclub, the annual karaoke, the benefit PDJF. So highly recommended. Go over and enjoy a little after races activity, or just come up and enjoy that as well. Katie, I really enjoyed the visit this morning. Again, now I've done the sibling trifecta.
Nice.
But again, it all timed out great with the win
timing.
Yesterday,
the
win on Friday. And as I say, we're in week number three, so there is plenty of time to add to the win total. Wishing you a lot of luck, and
I
appreciate your stopping by this morning.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Katie Davis. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Tommy Bellhouse is in the house. We'll talk a little West Point Thoroughbreds and more. Stay tuned.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off Exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead, a solo version. Again, wishing the best to our buddy Steve Bick on the men. And he's fine. He just was a little sore this morning. We'll get him in next week, and he'll be back on the radio tomorrow. But happy to do a solo edition and happy to be visited by our friend Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds. West Point with a nice win yesterday. We'll see what they have coming up because I know they have things coming up. We'll also talk about some performers and where they may show up at other venues going forward. But Tommy Bellhouse from West Point joins us. And yet, I think it was yesterday, it was Andy and Sarah Elbadwe on the pregame show. And Sarah said she had met you and talked to you and whatnot. And Andy said, to know Tom Bellhouse is to love Tom Bellhouse.
Well,
I'll verify that. Tom,
thank
welcome.
You very much. And it actually met Sarah quite by accident. We went down and we were supposed to run at Belmont. It was one of the days that the smog alert happened. And one of our partners was hosting a dinner, and he's like, hey, you got to come, because now everybody ended up staying over.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure enough, she sat next to me at the dinner, and what a lovely person.
Up-and-comer, to
say
the least.
Oh, my gosh. And then I love that, you know, we were talking about it this morning. We have our little meeting of the minds at the golf carts in the morning. I call it our support group for bad beats. but, you know, she's not afraid to put one out there that's not anywhere on the on the morning line.
No, again, she's an up-and-comer. I said earlier, I got to get her back here some morning and help introduce people to her, who I've kind of got to know how she got in the game and those kind of things. But yeah, doing a very nice job, certainly for Naira over the past couple of months. And speaking of doing a nice job West Point, why don't we start right out and take a look yesterday. I saw you right after the race and gave you congratulations. First time starter yesterday, Carson's Run, a son of Cupid. You bought it Ocala earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Carson's Run is going to be the number three horse in here. Talk a little bit about purchasing this one earlier this year at Ocala and the performance yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was an exciting race, as you can see here. You know, We bought him at OBS April from Randy Miles, somebody we bought a number of horses over the years. And he has a really fascinating pedigree to me. He's from the family of Rated R Superstar, that hard-knocking Oaklawn horse. Yeah. And behind that, in the second dam, he had Wishful Tomcat, which if you remember back in the New York bred days of 15 years ago, was a horse that ran from like 2 to 8. And, you know, he just struck us. He's well put together. And I always call horses like this. This is old school West Point Thoroughbreds. When we used to just go to the two-year-old sales, we didn't have a lot of money to spend, and we just looked for good athletes. And we bought this guy, and we bought a filly who's going to run here on Wednesday, first-time starter, New York bred, named Belvoir. She's a flame-away filly that'll run in the fifth race on Wednesday with Rosario for Clement. We bought both of those horses at that OBS April sale, both for under $200,000 and right in that sweet spot, and, you know, very well-received. And this guy, he's been forward. But I, for all full disclosure, Miguel Clement called me on 4th of July at 6 a.m., woke me up, get me to come over to the main track to watch him work, and he got crop dusted. He didn't get out of the gate good, and Mike Luzzi was on him, and he's like, well, education. But he had done well on the grass over at Oklahoma. He'd galloped on the grass. Dylan had come up and worked him, and, you know, everybody seemed optimistic. Christoph was optimistic. And Miguel was optimistic, but I was like, listen, I was there 4th of July. It didn't go all that swell. And he didn't really get out of the great terrific in this race because I thought we'd be more forwardly placed. But Dylan got off the horse and he said, listen, he's following Jose Ortiz on the Shug McGahee horse. And he thought he was kind of a little all over the place. And he goes, you know what? I know it wasn't ideal to just swing out. You never know if you're actually going to get there. But he goes, I wanted him to have a good experience first time out. And then, as you saw at the 16th pole, he kind of dug in against Todd Pletcher's nice audible that they bought, at that April sale as well, April or March sale, and with IRAD. And, you know, we went on, and it was a thrill. Obviously, you know, we've run 5 horses at the meet. We have a win, 3 seconds, 1/3. Great way to start our summer. And maybe not the number of starters that we've had in past years, just the way the two-year-olds classes have broken down, but very exciting and nice quality of animals we got up here.
Yeah, with the length of the meet now, it's still early in the meet. You get a nice little win like that with the first-time starter. Going, long, mile and a 16th on the inner turf, and I'm guessing that was kind of the game plan when you debut. You know, you have a horse that's probably going to want to go longer.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we bought this horse, because the Clements brought in a partner on it, also Steve Boucher, local guy who we've owned with before. And, you know, Steve was real excited about the horse. I don't think any of us, when we bought it, thought we were buying a turf horse. You know, he handled the Tapita lovely down in Ocala, but we thought we were probably buying a dirt horse. But the way he moved and the way he dug in and, you know, when they win first time out at 2, you know, you're like, wow, there was so much to build off of that race, though. It's very exciting, and obviously we're going to have to look at some stakes going forward because that's really the only option you have.
With anticipation?
Maybe. Well, you and I have always had fun at the summer stakes.
Yeah, I was going to say, as I was saying, with anticipation, I was thinking, we've been up in Canada
with you guys. We've won that one in your end up there twice. Yeah, that's a ways away. Funny, I looked at the calendar this morning to find out when that race was, and might be a little bit too far off. But we'll see. And Christoph, he calls the right
shots. We're headed
up
that weekend, I believe. So maybe we will meet again with that one on the track. Let's talk about another runner from you that could be a little bit interesting with a little bit of breeding. I was on the radio with Bick on the front side. Opening day, a couple days before that, maybe, and he was talking on the phone with Cherie DeVoe. She mentioned Sands of War. A couple days later, I saw you. You mentioned Sands of War. We're looking forward to Sands of War. I pulled up the auction page, and you don't have to go too far down to see why the excitement. The Dam, a sibling to Justify. Talk a little bit about Sands of War and the expectations.
So this is a case of what you dream about when you buy a yearling. We bought Egyptian Storm, the Dam. Her older brother was unraced by Scat Daddy, and he became Justify. So you own a filly whose older brother who is non-race, becomes a Triple Crown winner. So obviously she became, we sold her at sale. She went through the sale, was a partnership. We sold that. A group bought her back and put her in a broodmare band. And this horse, this offspring, went through the sale again because it's a commercial venture. And David and Gordo's group bought it, and we bought in with them. And so this is a house family horse from way back. But all I can tell the people is this horse would not be here if Cherie DeVoe didn't think it could run. Because she's been running most of her babies at Ellis and other places to get them started. And then the fact that she shipped in, she's very high. And I know that race today, if it had stayed on the grass, would have been a war. I know there's a few horses in there that were highly touted for the last few weeks that this was going to be a big race. But we're very excited about that horse, and that filly. And, you know, it's that time of year. We got 90 days to the Breeders' Cup, right?
And so, yeah, exactly. And so I didn't see, are you guys out?
Yeah, we're scratched. Okay. I mean, she's going to run only on turf.
Yeah, so, okay, makes sense.
And hopefully maybe next Sunday they said they might write that race back.
Okay,
so.
I was wondering if there was something in the book or plan. But Sands of War was scheduled, and again, if you didn't hear, off the turf today, 1, 3, 5, and 10, Sands of War was entered in the opener. But keep your eyes open for that one coming up, certainly. Also, I wanted to pull up some of the West Point runners we mentioned Anthony mentioned on the handicappers report earlier, he had a firster that ran pretty well yesterday out at Del Mar.
Slider.
Yeah.
Is that a great name?
Yeah.
Slider. So Slider debuted, broke great. I think it got a 87 buyer, maybe?
No.
I mean, a phenomenal buyer. Yeah. Got run down by a beautiful Bob Baffert colt. I believe it's a Justify as well. That missed the break, took a couple awkward steps, spotted, and still ran down our horse late to win. We're thrilled. I mean, it was yet another horse that bought, you know, for that middle two-year-old sale, middle price. Jimmy Creed, you know, you've had, you know, Leon a million times with Casa Creed. We had a horse named Kantaka years ago that was a Jimmy Creed. Jimmy Creed has just always been that under the radar, just gives you a solid runner, turf, dirt. And we think maybe even this horse might be a turf horse. Before the year started, we had a contest in-house predicting who would be the two-year-old that might make the Breeders' Cup for us. And most of the people felt that Slider was really that precocious and exciting, and that John Sadler ran him that early at Del Mar is really great. And maybe that turf sprint they run out at the Breeders' Cup might be something we see him in down the line. Yeah.
Nice. More of a veteran. I'm going back to July 8th out at Prairie Meadows. The number one horse on this replay will be Giant Game. So puts a nice win on the resume with a $300,000 guaranteed purse in the Cornhusker. And I looked up, and he has been working at Churchill Downs since this win out of Prairie Meadows. What might be next for Giant Game?
Well, I know we took a long look at the Whitney.
Okay.
But realistically, Dale felt that the $1 million Charlestown Classic could be a perfect next spot to him. I mean, for those who don't remember, he was in the Breeders' Cup as a juvenile, and ran third in the juvenile, and really just had a star-crossed three-year-old season. Like, had some breathing issues, had this go wrong, that go wrong, and it just seemed like he ran twice on the comeback, and both times, one time the ground gave way underneath him at Gulfstream. Like, literally, you could see it on the replay. Yeah. Just the ground went away from him. But he really, this year, starting at Gulfstream, has been putting it together, getting better, and that Cornhusker was just awesome. And to win that race out there, Dennis Albaugh is the co-owner with us, and Dale Romas. Dennis and Dale were both put in the Iowa Hall of Fame at Cornhusker that day. And just like a real magical time. So, you know, we joke, when you run in the Breeders' Cup, you get you buy purple hats, right? And you have the name on them. Well, a lot of us went searching and went and go and find our Giant Game Breeders' Cup hats because now they're back in style. So, but no, it's really, it's an exciting time. And I think that, you know, he is one of the last three foals of Giants Causeway. That last crop only had three foals. One of them is, I think, the is it the McPhee course, the Classic Causeway? Or
yeah, you're probably
right.
Right.
It was
yeah.
one of them,
yeah.
and he's one of them. Yeah. And I think that, you know, if we can maybe put together a nice little campaign here, a Stallion's career could be in the offing.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of starts, certainly he is now moving in the right direction. So, Charles, that's, I think, a clever spot. And that also could be a clever reference from now on. My purple hat is coming back in style. I like that. Another horse I wanted to talk about, because, again, we had Cherie DeVoe on. I, as I said, talking about War, Sands of War on the radio with Bick, but I had her on my show a couple days later. We also talked about Sands of War there. But we also talked about Northern Invader going back to July 1st. And I think, wasn't this the horse that was her first winner at Belmont,
yeah.
which I was shocked to hear? But Northern Invader being the number four horse here. He will be very easy to pick out because he opens up here under the West Point Silks and wins by a chart margin of 8. I said Giant Game, I saw on Equibase working at Churchill, but he worked up here as recently as yesterday. So give us the update on Northern Invader.
What a cool horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
We bought him a year ago, and, you know, David and Gordo, when we bought him, he was like, I love this horse. Like, this, just absolutely in love with the horse. So it took him a little while. He had a few hiccups as a two-year-old, got him to the races, and he debuted on Derby Day. And if you remember, on Derby Day, after the Derby, there was that horrible storm came through.
Right.
So here's an unraced horse, was in the paddock, I want to say, almost an hour and a half. You know, walking around.
Yeah, that's right.
And still ran phenomenal second. He come back, run second again, both on dirt. And we tried him on the grass at Belmont. Obviously, you just saw the result. That's one of those set that, you know, Terry Finley always says, the greatest feeling is that last eighth of a mile when they go 12 seconds and you know you have the race won. We were kind of walking down the stairs as that one opened up down the lane, and that was just, you know, to win a race right at the end of the Belmont meet. We actually won two that day with a filly named Gallon of Rush won the second, and then he won the fifth. So the ride home was very pleasant up to Saratoga.
And a game plan going forward?
Well, I know the Hall of Fame was on the radar. I think Cherie, and I don't want to speak for her, I think she's thinking the Secretariat at Colonial might be a spot. And keep in mind,
because I think when she was injured, she kind of mentioned both of those.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think she's leaning towards the Secretariat. But and keep in mind, he's a Canadian bred. So the King's Plate probably would be too much to ask to go from dirt to turf to synthetic to a mile and a quarter. But I mean, maybe the last leg of the was it the Breeders?
The last leg
they run on grass.
Isn't Breeders, isn't that the Ford Erie
Prince of
Wales?
Prince of Wales.
It is the Breeders. Yeah,
then they come back, that would be a race I think we'd have to maybe consider in the fall, just depending on how it goes. But it's nice to have those kind of options.
Exactly. You have a horse that can go to some of those particular restricted areas.
And we love the Woodbine Buffet.
Yeah. You ain't kidding. Yeah. I always tell people, if you haven't been to Woodbine, it's an easy drive up the Thruway, and it's a great track. It's fun. They treat you right. And on the media side and whatnot.
Well, they treat owners spectacular up there. Julia Bell and her team up there. And, you know, we've run up there, obviously, a lot over the years. And, you know, they do just a fine job. And, if, you know, like you said, for fans who haven't been there, or owners locally who've never been to Woodbine, it's worth the trip.
Yeah, and it's an easy drive. You kind of take the thruway to Buffalo, take a right turn, and boom, it's a short drive from there. And the two turf courses are nice now. And I always say, I'll get your opinion. I tell this story all the time. I think it was my first time up there. I'm standing in the grandstand watching my horse on the monitor on a turf race. They turn for home. My horse takes the lead. And the door outside is right in front of me. So I go from the monitor to watch live, and I walk out the door, and I look up, and I said, I thought I had this one won. Not quite that stretch. Oh, it goes on forever.
It does.
Oh.
It's great if you got a closer.
Yeah.
If you don't have a closer, sometimes it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Like I said, it was my first time there. I'm looking at the monitor. I'm like, I'm tucking the money in my back pocket. I open the door. Let me untuck the money.
Well, both of the summer stakes wins we had was Untamed Domain and Decorated Invader, and both came off the pace. They had those nice long stretch to get up.
But a lot of fun, certainly. I will also tout, and you know, you can talk a little bit about it because West Point Thoroughbreds, a longtime partnership, a longtime successful partnership, a lot of notable names over the years. But I'll tout your website. You really have one of the best websites that caters to going, seeing which horses are coming up, races that are coming up, but then looking the calendar a little bit ahead, the results and whatnot. So just talk about the partnership in general and give people a feel for that. And you're certainly invited to check out the website for more information.
You know, you mentioned the website, and, you know, Terry Finley, obviously our CEO, our founder, our leader, has always been a tech visionary. He's, and jokingly, a tech geek. Like, he just loves any new gadgets. So our website, years ago, he felt that that was really the way the future would be, yeah, how we would communicate. He was ahead of his time, yeah, in that regard. And, you know, his daughter, Erin Birkenauer, our COO, she handles a lot of the communication. Jeff Lowe is on our team, handles communication. And Don Leonard is our marketing person and also handles all the website. And a lot of time and energy goes into that to, you know, if you ask some of our partners, like, well, you didn't update this or that. But, I mean, it really is something we're very proud of. And I met someone at an event at the Saratoga Arms the other day, and they asked me, well, can you just send me something? And I said, you know, we really have gone almost 100% digital, where if it's on our web, if you want to know about it, it's on our website. Yeah. And so going forward, to anyone who's interested in learning more about West Point, obviously you can take a hit to the website or reach out to any of us, and something we're very proud of. And we like to think it's a great resource for anybody who's investigating ownership, whether it be West Point or anybody else, that we answer a lot of the questions education-wise that you might have, even if you're not going through or buying with us.
Yeah, and thanks to the guys. They just put the website address on the screen, so thanks to the guys in the control room for doing that. So check that out. And as you say, it's a great resource also. And again, there are various levels, and folks, if you're thinking about it, examine the different partnerships and whatnot and find your level. But I guarantee you'll have a lot of fun. And I think you're like most of the partnerships that when I have folks in here, Saratoga is really the highlight of the year, because you get people that come, it's a great day, you can go out in the paddock and come back to the backstretch, visit your horses, and everybody has a lot of fun up here in Saratoga.
Well, and it's the beauty of Saratoga is you get people visiting here, whether it's on vacation or coming to the races, who are interested in learning about our game. And, you know, the energy, like yesterday's card, even though we had the rain, I mean, you had the Jim Dandy and the controversy, and it was just a great day of racing.
And you got the two horses in the Vanderbilt that you wanted,
right?
Coming
down the lane, and and you're watching that race, and you're thinking, you know, Elite Power. Somebody brought it up to me this morning. If you look at Elite Power's PPs, it's like first four races just couldn't get it together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they give him a break. He come back, and he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And halfway at the eighth pole, you had to be thinking, is he really going to get there this time? And you know, the knock, all the pundits, like, well, he's not fast enough. He isn't running the numbers that the great sprinters were. I'll tell you what, he's beat everybody they put in front of him lately.
Yeah, no, that was, again, a highlight to the meet so far, one of many.
And what a barn Bill Mott has now, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And the whole birthday story again. It was like
you've been touting that for 10 years.
Like the 18th or 19th win on his birthday in 27 years. And some of those were on Tuesdays.
On dark
so
days.
So it couldn't have been. No, that's insane. Tom, always appreciate the visit. And, again, wish you and the whole team a lot of luck. We'll get Terry over here, too. Maybe we'll have Jason. I always like to have Jason stop in as well. You guys do a great job. And, again, it's fun to root for connections with local connections, and that's always fun to tout the West Point. And, you know, we said, folks can go to the website, but you, Terry, Jason are around the track all meet long, so folks can ask you questions as well.
And never hesitate. We love talking racing. We love meeting new fans and people who are interested in getting the game. Like I said, with us or anybody, I like to think we always could be a great resource for the sport.
You absolutely can. Tom, appreciate it. Good luck on the remainder of the meet.
Thank you, my man.
All right. Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds. We'll take another break. We'll come back. We'll just review some of that nice action I was talking about to wrap up the show. We'll look at some of the stakes from the past few days and more. So stay tuned.
Come on.
want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead. Seth Merrill solo this morning, but again, we'll get Steve in next week. Certainly on the men, wish him the best. And again, he's just a little sore. He's fine. He had some surgery, wrist and elbow, I believe, on Friday. So no surprise that a little sore after that, but he is on the men, tweeting out yesterday and today as well. So, just as we wrap up the show, did want to certainly not let yesterday go by without looking at the results. And I just talked about it with Tommy. This is the kind, when you're up here, and we've had a few of these races already where, you know, it's not a huge field, the field is seven, but in the Vanderbilt yesterday, you had Elite Power and you had Gunite, and you are hoping that you get the race that is shaping up on paper, and as they turn to into the lane, these two are in some fashion going to square off. And yesterday in the Vanderbilt, it lived up to the billing. I like Gunite. Went off as a close-up second choice at 6-5. Even money, Elite Power was the favorite. Elite Power is the number four. Gunite, here I'm thinking, oh, I got it, Gunite. And then even with his head cocked a little bit, now all of a sudden the momentum, I'm like, I don't know if I have it. And Elite Power runs him down. Chart Margin winds up to be ahead. I'm still feeling pretty good about Gunite with, like 100 yards around, but nope, he goes by. Chart Margin ahead there. Irad Ortiz on board. Tyler Gaffleone on Gunite. Tyler Gaffleone's had a nice last few days. But it was just, it lived up to the billing, so to speak, in the Vanderbilt. Really nice performance there from both Elite Power, last year's sprint champion, and Gunite coming out of the Asmussen barn, and with his, sprint performers the last few years, he has another one in Gunite, and it's one of those races. Performance is too good to have a loser, but it was Elite Power getting it done in the Vanderbilt yesterday. We'll see if those two come back a little later in the meet, sprint-wise. But we definitely will get some performers coming back a little later in the meet coming out of the Jim Danny, certainly the winner, heading for the Traverse. And again, question mark has been, will some three-year-old kind of step up this summer? Forte now has the shot to kind of solidify things in the Traverse, certainly, but Mage is going to work up to the Traverse. That'll make that one intriguing. Mage coming out of the Haskell, so now didn't take the Jim Dandy route, but we'll get some works in before the Traverse to square off. And again, with Mage and Forte now off the Jim Dandy win, those are horses that both could stamp themselves moving forward, as could Arcangelo, who is literally working to the Traverse. We'll see what happens. But yesterday in the Jim Dandy, I liked Angel of Empire. There was a little controversy. There was a non-DQ as Irad Ortiz on Forte, kind of top of the stretch, eighth pole, kind of makes his room. He had been on the rail, and he's in the Rapoli colors with the orange hat, and you can see him kind of makes a spot for himself and gets the victory and bumps a little bit with Angel of Empire. And I read the quotes earlier from Flavien Prat, who kind of said, yeah, our horse bumped, and so my horse lost a little bit of interest. But still, Angel of Empire is right there. But this is some battle between Forte and Saudi Crown. The nose goes to Forte, so gets back on the, you know, the winning path, as it were. And I read the quote earlier from Flavien Prat, who was on Angel of Empire. He says, Angel of Empire, quote, this is the Dave Groening article, got bumped multiple times, so then at one point my horse just kind of gave up a little bit, that's all. Prat did not claim foul, but there was an inquiry. They looked. According to Irad Ortiz, who is, again, aboard Forte, he was quoted as saying, if I stop riding, I clip his heels because he just keeps going out. Speaking of Saudi Crown. So he's kind of claiming he came out and made room because he felt like he had to. He said it was not an easy situation. You don't want to be in that spot, to be honest. I have a horse outside. I know he's there. At the same time, I have a horse in front of me just getting out bad. You could see where we started and where we ended. The other jockey corrected in the end, but it was too late. So, again, the stewards looked, made no change to the decision. And so Forte stays up, gets the Jim Dandy victory as the short-priced favorite in there. Saudi Crown ran very well. It was just ahead, Bob, lightly raced runner for Brad Cox. Brad Cox, and it wasn't a quote. Let me see if I can pull it up. There was no quote, but according to Dave Groening's article, Brad Cox, the trainer of both Saudi Crown and Angel of Empire, said he didn't see a reason for there to be a disqualification and was proud of both of his horses, especially Saudi Crown, for their performances. Hit Show, who he also had in there, he said was compromised by a bad start. Then Brad Cox is quoted. All three of them are good, but Saudi Crown's got a tremendous amount of upside. He added that the most likely next start for Saudi Crown would be the Pennsylvania Derby. It was a 105 buyer, and I'm just looking, according to, again, to the Groening article, 105 buyer for Forte, he ends the sentence saying, along with Saudi Crown. So I guess with the close finish, they both ended up with 105. So pretty solid number coming out of the win in the Jim Dandy for Forte. Didn't pull up the replays, but, of course, earlier in the week, we had nice performances as well, going back to Friday in the Amsterdam New York Thunder. Drew's Gold came in with lots of talent, lots of promise, and an even money price in the five-horse field. But New York Thunder wins off by almost eight lengths. Big performance there in the Amsterdam on Friday. On Thursday next, kind of established himself as a solid marathon player. Lone Rock subsequently came out of a sixth-place finish in the Birdstone on Thursday. Lone Rock announced to be retired. Was for a time kind of at the top of that marathon division, subdivision. You know, there aren't a lot of opportunities, but it's fun. But at this point, you would think in that, again, marathon division, next would be the leader off the big victory in the Birdstone on Thursday. And on the sprint side of things, Echo Zulu, phenomenal on Wednesday in the Honorable Miss. I took a little pop with Frank's Raquette. Betting public, however, got it right. They made Steve Asmussen's trainee Echo Zulu the 2-5 favorite, and she was phenomenal. She's 108.76, and I should note that New York Thunder hits the 6-furlong mark in the Amsterdam at 107.77, goes to 6.5 and 114.65. So, again, really nice performances kind of all week long. Also mentioned the sibling to Maj. Dornock ran second yesterday, but the winner sees the gray for the coach, Wayne Lucas. So Wayne Lucas getting a win on the card yesterday. And again, a fun day. The weather was a little bit funky yesterday with a pretty good rainstorm coming in. Cleared out the weather, however, and whereas we have had some heat and humidity, and back here in our tent, you can't see because we're open in the background, but the sides are closed in. And on a hot, humid day, it can get steamy in here and a little sauna-like. today is gorgeous. It's a great day, sunny, comfortable, low humidity, no humidity really. So if you're planning on coming on up, you will have a very nice day. Reminder, because of the rain yesterday, off the turf, 1, 3, 5, and 10 today. So keep that in mind. If you can't make it up, Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Double promo day with the match board and the exact match bet and the exacta board. So keep that in mind. I'll have the show pool for folks who made the team. We'll try to make them a little bit of money also. And don't forget, if you're headed up here to the track, low rollers contest today. So keep that in mind as well. That's always a lot of fun here at the racetrack. PDJF karaoke benefit over at Vapors tonight. Swing by there, and I guarantee you will have some fun at Vapor over there at the harness track right across the street on this Sunday evening, and all for a very, very good cause, PDJF, as well. Hopefully some of you came up and took advantage of the autograph day yesterday on PDJF Awareness Day. I think we're caught up. I'm looking at my notes here. I can't see anything else, so we will wrap it up for this Sunday morning. Loose on the Lead. Again, we'll have Steve in, I assume, next weekend. Looking forward to his return, certainly. You can check him out on the radio, obviously. He'll be back in, fired that up tomorrow, I'm sure. But we are going to wrap it up for this Sunday morning. Loose on the Lead, inviting you once again, come on up for a beautiful day of the races on a Sunday afternoon. If you can't make it up here, Clubhouse Racebook with a double promo, or swing by an Easy Bet or one of our branches, or just fire up Capital OTV Bet on your phone as well and enjoy racing this afternoon. Cash a few tickets. And are you talking to me in the control room? Should I assume not. But the mic is open. So we will send it out of here on a Sunday morning. Inviting you again, come up the afternoon, enjoy the other options if you can't make it up here. But either way, cash some tickets, have some fun. Farthest in the network will be back in Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Sport, 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.